Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Now, today is part two of my two-part interview with Pastor Paula White Kane. In her book that she's just released, Something Greater, Finding Triumph Over Trials, Pastor Paula White shares her journey of faith from what she calls being a messed up Mississippi girl to leading the ministry she has in service to the Lord today. And in this book, she details how she felt led to a higher calling as a child and some of the issues and the problems she's had to overcome in her personal life and ministry and how she came to serve others as a female pastor and what led her to being asked to become the spiritual advisor to the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump. Praise God. In her book, which I have read literally straight through in one evening, I could not put it down. It is that good. Anyway, in her book, she shares some of the personal insights that most people never know about. Some of the pain that was caused in her personal life, how she fought to save her marriages, and how the devil threw everything against her ministry, including a Senate investigation into the ministry finance. All of it, which, by the way, she shares in detail in the book and is giving us a condensed version right here on the interview today. So let's jump back into the interview now with Pastor Paula White Kane as I continue to discuss her book, Something Greater, Finding Triumph Over Trials. It really is a great book. You should be clicking the show notes below to order your copy right now while listening to the conclusion of this interview. And here we go, back into the interview with Pastor Paula White Kane. When you're going to your boyfriend's grandmother's house and Uncle Butch was there, it was like God was starting to line things up for you, right? I mean,
absolutely.
It was like an intervention, you know, the Holy Spirit just had him decide, oh, I'm going to go over and visit my sister or whoever it was, you know, at the time. And then God had you show up at the same time. And like I said, the book goes into detail about how he just like zeroed in on you. And he could, excuse the pun, read you like a book, right?
He did. He absolutely did. And it's amazing because I go into, you know, who the real heroes are and who I think, you know, heaven is just throwing big time parties for. And those are people like after I grew in life, in my spiritual life, I sort of recognizing no one just comes out of nowhere, that God is very much a God of legacy and lineage and lines, and why family is so important and why church is so important and discipleship and all these things that we understand as the fundamentals of our faith. And so I look back, and one day I was in deep prayer, and I went through a lot of rejection with my grandmother, who was my dad's mom, and I go into this detail, and my mother became an alcoholic. But early on in my first 5 years, the formation of my life had a lot to do with my great-grandmother, and her name was Mama Annie. She was very rejected. She was about 97 pounds and very crippled and arthritic, smelled like Bengay, and they pretty much put her in this room. I remember, you know, her being in isolation a lot. And they would always say, oh, she's crazy. And one day when I was like 12 years old, they said, she's religious. And, you know, at 12, not growing up in church, I never understood any of that. And I'm in prayer one day, and I asked God, I said, where did I come from? You know, because I'm always saying, I'm from five generations of heathen. You know, this was my, like, everyone was heathen, and everybody was, I mean, I was sure it split hell wide open. And I was crying out on behalf of my family. And the Lord showed me when I was little, I bonded very deep with my mama, Annie, and she had such impact. And I knew she loved me. I mean, she was the formation, and she'd rock me and hold me and mumble over me, so I thought. And the Lord showed me she was praying over me and praise dedicated me to God. And so here's a grandmother who's 97 pounds. All she has is she's locked away in a room, you know, smells like Bengay, crippled arthritis, very bent over. And she's given this little girl. And she dedicates this little girl with rotted out teeth and, you know, squinty little brown eyes and stringy hair that had a very dysfunctional family and a big mess. And she's giving me to God as a sacrifice in prayer. Yeah. And so I want people to know how much their prayers matter. And, you know, it wasn't this world famous evangelist and there's a place for everyone in the body of Christ. It wasn't, a celebrity pastor. It was Uncle Butch that just was on divine assignment. And we all are so important.
And his reward in heaven, encompasses your whole ministry.
Yeah, you think about that. Amen. I mean, how many millions of people have come to the Lord through Paul White ministry, but there wouldn't be one without Uncle Butch being so bold. I mean, he was bold and confident.
Amen. I know I'm jumping around a bit, but I want you to tell us a story of when you absolutely needed the rent money and there was no other hope but God and how it showed up.
You know, amazing. God took me on this journey of learning to trust him and really believe him. When I was 18, I had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. I get saved and I tell the whole story. I talk about it, all of it. And my parents, my mother had remarried when I was 9 to a 2-star admiral, became one chief of medical service corps. So they weren't too happy with my life. They, had a plan for me. You have to get a minimum of a master's. This is what you're going to do. And I just decided I'm not a woman. I'm not going to follow the path and jump off the cliff. It didn't fit. There was a pool in my life and they thought I'd gone off the deep end. They were trying to help me because I'd become a Jesus freak. It turned out to be okay because all of my family is saved now and loves God. And, I wouldn't compromise. So they were, their ultimatum to me is I'm cutting you off financially. And I didn't think they'd really do it, but certainly they did. And I went through some really difficult times, but I wouldn't compromise on my walk with God. So I'm living in a trailer. People pretty much call me trailer trash. I say, but God's in the recycling business. He takes what other people call trash. And so our mortgage was about $377. And I had probably a whopping $50-something. And there was just no way. And I was so afraid. Here I had this little baby, brown eyes looking up at me. And I'm, living there and struggling with my little family and thinking, what are we going to do? And knowing it's going to be repossessed. And so I started going to a Nazarene church, and then I moved over to a Church of God. And I'd always hear testimonies of how people would get groceries or rent money or this, and I was running to the mailbox thinking, surely, or somebody's going to give me a Pentecostal handshake or something. And sure enough, nothing. And it was at that last, that midnight hour, and notice after notice, and I had gotten a jacket at Goodwill for, a few bucks, and probably a year earlier. And I'd put it on once or twice. And we were playing Bible trivia. Had some friends over, and a little double wide. And I started, I don't know, just out of the blue, I was like, you should see how good God has been to me. I bragged on this jacket I'd gotten for, $5 or whatever, Goodwill, and went to put it on. Well, I went and put it on, and I felt like this bulge in my pocket there. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And I reached in, and it was, literally to the T, what I needed. I think at $376 or around there, total. It was about $320, but it totaled up what I needed for the mortgage. And I just began to weep and cry and worship. And I don't know, to my knowledge, no one knew of our need. No one. I don't know if an angel put it in there. I don't know if it was already there from Goodwill. I don't know. I have no idea. I just know God did something so supernatural for me. And that began to build my faith that was not like, oh, God's a sugar daddy or something like that, but that God loved me enough that he would take care of my needs, just like he said in Matthew chapter 6. Because here I was stressed out and worried, and I was doing everything I could. I, for years, cleaned houses and doctor's offices and picked up an odd job here or there, or would do whatever I had to do, delivered newspapers and, but we were short and, we didn't have it, but God God loves you and God will make a way. And it did something for me that I realized I serve a good daddy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that life's always easy and our faith doesn't prevent life, but it certainly carries us through life.
Amen. I brought that up because I had an experience similar to that when we were going through a serious financial times and between my transition from the military to what I ended up doing. I was working two part-time jobs and still behind on the bills, so I started going to school using my VA check to help pay the rent. And I could call on the third of the month down to Austin, Texas, and we lived in Killeen at the time, and they would tell me, okay, your check's printed and it'll be mailed today or it'll be mailed tomorrow or something like that. And then I knew it would take one more day to get there, so I could tell the rent office, okay, I'll pay you, you know, Wednesday or whatever. And I called them up and they said, well, the check will be printed today and it'll probably go in tomorrow's batch of mail, which means I wouldn't get it for another day or two. And I'm like, oh man, I'm already behind and this is bad. And I pray we really needed that money. And I went to the grocery store and came back, and in the mailbox was the check. And it did not even have a cancellation stamp on it. I believe an angel grabbed it when it was printed and flew up and put it in that mailbox because I just got off the phone with them. And they said it's being printed today, you know, and will be mailed tomorrow or the next day. And there it was in the mail. And it takes at least a day or two to get from Austin to Killeen. So,
I'm telling you,
God is
a supernatural God. Yeah. I've learned. It's amazing because those early days really helped my formation of faith that God takes care of us. And he is a God of the supernatural. And I mean, I've seen it all in my life in ministry. And whether I'm sitting at a brook and he's sending a raven. And some people have those experiences early on and then they kind of push over that threshold of the struggle and the poverty and it levels out for them. Not for me. It's always been up and down. God has always had my back in a corner that there's something that I don't have enough of. And he always brings supply. I can tell you, I go through how supernaturally he supplied for when he told me to go on television and I signed $1.5 million contract. I have $10,000. Or how when I go through, I wish I could say the only struggle was in the beginning of my life, but in the middle part, you know, I think I'm writing in my journal one day, can life get any better? And I think I'm living the Cinderella life. And then we go under immense extreme attack. And I'm really open and vulnerable about this because we came against pornography very hard in the city of Tampa. And next thing I know, we are in a criminal IRS investigation. And, you know, I find out how many ministries and big ministries have been through that. And I look where I am now and go, I had to go through everything. You know, we were cleared in 6 months. I mean, they go through absolutely everything. I'd gone through an inquiry from a Senate. I'd gone through a total of almost 12 to 14 years of investigation, headlines, 52 weeks, one after another. My ex-husband who tells his story and testimony, you know, I believe God that my marriage would make it. I could, like, this would be a blip on the radar screen. But he had a nervous breakdown and opened the door to Valium, which led to Oxy and led to heroin, and one addiction led to another, which led, you know, the women, and I kept believing, God, this is going to be a blip. And it wasn't. I mean, we went through a divorce, an unwanted one for me. And, you know, it was, but I look back now and I go, everything, you know, God didn't change his mind about me. God didn't change, you know, when I had to work through so many situations and details, because you look at your purpose in life and you say, well, can another person impact, you know, and take away God's plan for your life? Because it happens to everyone, whether it's a family member or Judas to Jesus. And then ultimately you see that all these things, if you allow them to work for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And, you know, I'm happy and grateful to say that, you know, Randy is doing much better and is pulled his life together in many ways.
That's
and you know, God is a God of restoration, and and it's sometimes we have messy parts in our story that we don't like, and chapters we don't like, and that's why I wrote the Something Greater, to go, God's not finished with you. And today I stand amazed at what the Lord has done, because, you know, you do. Some people kick you to the curb and go through, but God doesn't. And, I mean, I was bunkered down with God, and I went through 39 different life events, what I categorized one time as 19 life crises. And it was devastating. Our daughter died of cancer. Everything that, you know, here I am laying my hands on the sick and seeing people recover. Here I am praying and preaching and seeing families being restored, and mine was falling apart. Those are the mysteries, because some people are like, well, what'd you do wrong? Is there sin in your life? And I mean, this is a girl, not that our works ever do, you know, it's not by our works. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. But I had, you know, still to this day, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, never done drugs. At that time, I'd never cussed. I asked God for permission on a few occasions, and I had to repent from serious. I'd never watched an R movie. You know, I never had a drink. I mean, I think I had my first glass of wine in 2008 or 9. Yeah. Not saying I've been drunk or done it, but I never. There was no affair. There was no inappropriate communication. So you can imagine, I'm like, but God, I'm the girl that's spending 10 to 12 to 14 hours a day in your presence. And so it really helps people understand that you get to know God in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, that was just seasonal. It was temporal. Mm-hmm. And there are things that I'd never want to go back through and never want to repeat.
Yeah.
But at
Absolutely.
The same time, I'm grateful, because I wouldn't be who I am today, and God's plan and his purpose was bigger than mine.
Yeah. Say God says to prepare, not for where you've been, not for where you are, but to grab hold of something that's bigger than you are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you just don't know the process. God doesn't tell you all the details to your destiny, does he? Hey, Mary, I'm going to use you. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And you are going to bring forth the Son of God. Man, this is awesome. But doesn't tell her, by the way, at 12 years old, you're going to be really confounded when you can't find him. And at 33 years from now, you're going to be standing at the foot of a cross.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't give us the details of destiny. Now, that wasn't a defeat. That was a victory.
Yeah.
But he still had to go through a painful process
right.
to bring the ultimate plan of God. And I'm saying some things, not all God sent, but certainly will be God used.
Yeah.
And I want to help people understand
awesome.
You do have a purpose. There is an intention. God has a plan.
And he has this plan. And I want you to share real quick as we get ready to close. I love the story about how you're on television, you got this huge ministry television budget, and you're approached with an opportunity to go on this little low-power no-name TV station in Southern Florida for $300. And at first, it's not worth the time. But then you felt led, we'll just go ahead and do it. Tell us how hearing God in that situation allowed you to influence somebody you're working for right now.
It's a supernatural story. So we had started television. God had given me a word. I signed this contract and basically ended up building a mini syndication. We were on 47 networks. Broadcast, I mean, everything, you know, initially Christian television kind of blocked me out. And I went on all these secular networks from Fox to ABC to NBC. I mean, you name it. I was on your time, and God just blessed it. It was supernaturally, I mean, very big. Then, of course, all your Christian TV and Daystar. So, that really, I looked at the markets, because I'm very I believe in being a very good steward and making sure I have a deep conviction about giving account to the Lord, and so they say I'm squeezing Lincoln and making cry, and so here I am. I'm looking at the markets, and my executive director comes in and says, Paula, there's this station available. It's $300, which when you're paying, like on Tuesday's BET. When I started, it was, I don't have it right in front of me, but it was like $20,000+ for a half an hour on Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. or something. So when you're looking and going, $300 for what? You know, that's like pennies compared to airtime usually. I mean, it's thousands of dollars a day for a broadcast show.
Yeah.
And they said, it's $300 a month. I said, for what? They go, it's this low power station. I said, oh, like rabbit ears. And they go, yeah, pretty much down in South Florida, you know, West Palm, Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Miami area. And I go, and I started looking at our schedule and I go, no, I go, Danny, we are so oversaturated. I go, hey, $300 is $300. We won't waste a dime of God's money. He starts to walk out and God, the Holy Spirit literally says, sign that contract. I said, Danny, come back here. I said, this makes no sense, but I'm supposed to sign this contract. So I signed the contract. Well, I get this call from this man, Mr. Trump. And then Mr. Trump, and they say, Mr. Trump's on the line. I'm like, sure, playing around. They go, no, for real. So I get on the line. He said, you're fantastic. You've got the it factor. I said, oh, sir, we call that the anointing. And he begins to repeat to me verbatim three of my sermons, Value of Vision. And we have a long conversation, and one thing leads to another. I'm doing a Bible study up in New York for the Yankees. And so I meet him, meet his family, meet his staff, and obviously relationship develops and grows. And even in the early 2000s, you know, he would call me his pastor, and God spoke to me and said, show him who I am. And it was literally, I thought, you know, have a Christian witness before him. And that's not to minimize, because his mother is a very godly woman and a praying woman. And he had deep-rooted seeds of faith and a walk with God. But there, I knew that there was a timing I was coming. Little did I know it had to do now. So one day I finally asked him, I said, because I was on Fox in New York on Sunday morning, so I always assumed that, which was very expensive, that he just saw me in New York on Fox on a Sunday morning. I said, now, where did you catch me on television when you saw that? He goes, oh, I was down at my place in Mar-a-Lago. He said, he'd watch Christian television quite often. And I said, really? I said, what station? He said, there's this little low-powered station that comes through. And had I not obeyed the Holy Spirit and signed that contract, he would not have watched the program. Yeah. Had he not watched the program, then that relationship would not have developed.
Exactly.
Had that not developed, I wouldn't be standing here being in a position for the body of Christ and the kingdom of God to help make decisions. So sometimes we have no idea what God's doing in our life and how profound it is, but all God wants is our obedience.
Amen.
And more than our sacrifice. And it's that the one thing I can say, and that's what Something Greater is all about. It's not necessarily about a bigger car or a bigger house or better job. It can be inclusive of those things. But what it is about is God has something greater for you, greater than what your childhood, greater than your yesterdays, greater than the pain or the trauma or the trials. And that greatness is you'll allow him to. He'll come into a very intimate relationship with you, that his voice becomes more steadfast and clear than anyone's voice. And every day will lead you and guide you. Even like when he spoke to the Apostle Paul, hey, you're going to Rome. You're going to stand before Festus. But by the way, there are going to be a few things along the way. You know, you're going to get shipwrecked. You're going to get beaten a little bit. And you're going to go in prison. But don't worry, I'm going to use all this. And little did Paul know that today we'd live off 2/3 of his writing in the New Testament.
Yeah, exactly. Amen.
So
that's
your something greater. The God gets the final say. He's Alpha and Omega.
Yes. Amen. And your book is available on Amazon Kindle right now, but the physical copies are available on your website, correct?
They are actually everywhere. You can go to somethinggreaterbook.com. And Amazon should still have the hard copy, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, my website, all of those. And I really encourage, it's a great gift, especially during this time, to get someone. And thank you so much for reading it. People recently said to me, Paula, little did you know, like I said, that you'd be writing this for the world to help them overcome this time of transition and using God's principles and the evidence of what God can do in our life.
Amen. Amen. Well, like I say, your book is riveting. I read it in one sitting. And there are other things, you know, I mean, there's things in there that it was obviously hard for you to share, but I want to thank you just for trusting God to share those parts of your life with us, because, I mean, your ministry is awesome. You're awesome. And I want to thank you again for keeping our president covered in prayer. Please encourage him to keep fighting the good fight of faith. I mean, God's using him in miraculous ways, and you are right there basically as an armor bearer in the faith. And we do appreciate all the work you're doing for us.
Thank you. It's my honor to serve and just so grateful to be with you today. And I will let him know every time I tell him, I remind him, millions of people are praying for you. And boy, he just pauses and he says, I feel it, Paula. It really makes a difference to him, and he's so grateful for it.
Amen. Folks, you need to get this book. I mean, this is one that will reach parts of you that you may have forgotten even existed. I know it did that for me. And go to Pastor Paula's website, order the book, go to Amazon, order the book. Do it right now. In fact, order two or three. She has a special on her website where you get a signed copy if you order now. I mean, sow them as seeds into other people's lives and allow the Lord to work. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Paula, for coming on the program. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. Be blessed.
For Pastor Paula Kane, Paula White Kane, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.